Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald, and this is the Fearless Women Podcast. Thanks for listening from all over Canada and from around the world, including USA, UK, France, and so many more countries. I love to hear from you, so email me at fearlesswomenpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram. So I want to check in with all of you. How are you doing? I'm hearing from many of you that you're figuring it out with a bit of a sense of humor, but let's face it, it can be hard to be at home trying to make it all work. We're having to balance so many competing needs and adding Zoom meetings on top of it. So I hope you're finding ways to be present and enjoy the little things. And I hope you can find some connection and some inspiration from our show, because I love highlighting inspiring people. So as you know, I released my book in early March, and I want to thank all of you for your support in making Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision a bestseller in Canada. I'm so grateful. You can buy it at Chapters, Amazon, and in-store at Costco right now, right across Canada. Love to know what you think, so email me. So I am super excited with my guest that I have on the show today, Henrietta Southam, with a background in art, history, and design. She's an influential voice in Canada, both because of her design work, but equally her philanthropy. We're connected in many different ways, and I'm so excited to have her on the show today. She's the founder and CEO of Henrietta Southam Design, an avid volunteer and noted networker making a difference in Canada every day. Welcome to the show, Henrietta.
Thank you. I'm smiling cheek to cheek.
Yay. All right. So first off, how have you been managing during these unprecedented times? Any tips for getting through? And I know you have your daughter with you. How goes homeschooling? Because it can't be easy. Gosh.
I really didn't see the homeschooling coming. I thought this was not going to last more than 2 or 3 weeks. So, remember it started at March break. So We were in vacation mode, holiday mode, and then we missed the first week of school. And the second week, the teacher started sending homework, and we only had one computer at home. And very quickly, I had to figure out how to get her a tablet. Mm-hmm. That was a whole process, but it's been, I've loved this time. I really have.
Mm. Beautiful. Well, that's the right attitude, because they are strange days, but there is lots to love about it, even though it can be challenging. Okay, so Henrietta, you're widely known for your exquisite taste in design. It's backed by deep knowledge in art and in antiques. Can you talk about your work, what your approach is when you're working with new clients, and tell us why you love it so much?
It's interesting. I love it because I love people. And the first thing I do when I meet clients is to sit down with them and listen to them. That's really the first thing I do. And it's interesting. Everybody has a different story, a different background, different tastes, different dreams. And I see myself as an interpreter of their best selves. And I use their homes as the canvas of their best selves, I suppose.
Tell me more.
So what I'm really proud of in my work is that not one home or not one restaurant looks like the other. It's not that I take painstaking ways to avoid having a signature style, which, by the way, a lot of designers and artists need to have in order to get commissioned to do that. I, on the contrary, take great pains at hiding myself and bringing the best of my client to the foreground. And it started with my children. My children were asking me what I was doing with my life and what I was doing for work, because they couldn't really understand that it was work to go and do what I was doing. And a very important medium came into play, and that was photography. So when I am able to photograph the work I've done, which, by the way, is not very often, as very few clients I have are not private. The ones that I have that are private and allow me to photograph their spaces, I am so grateful to, because I know that what they live in now after I've helped them is an intimate view into who they are, how they think, how they live. And it's an honor for me to be able to photograph it. Anyway, when I started taking photographs of the interiors to put them on a website, my children started seeing that, oh, there's photos. And it's funny how this generation and the generation coming up is so image-based. And when you see images, you see work. And that's not how it used to be when I started in this business. It was all a word of mouth. It's still word of mouth, but with images that tell the tale.
Yeah, and the images on your website, and give us the specific site.
It's quite easy. It's henriettasoutham.com.
And the pictures on there are so beautiful. So people who may not be able to work with you, what would be, nevertheless, some easy tips you could help us all incorporate some elegance into our homes? Because right now we're spending all our time at home and our homes are having to be so many things right now, our places of work and relaxation, et cetera. But what would be, you know, if we wanted to just have that feeling of a little bit of elegance and a different spirit in our homes, what would you recommend, Henrietta?
Before I answer that, you've touched on something that is very important to me. It's not that I'm not affordable or approachable as much as, and I know you didn't say that, Janice, it is that people see my work and think, oh, I can't afford that. But the people I work with are usually the people that are brave enough to say, I really love what she does. I really have an idea of her sensitivity and her sensibility, and I'm going to pick up the phone and call her and see if she can work with me, what my budget can cover, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think I've turned down many people, honestly. And part of my business, which is not reflected on my website, but it's funny, I might be incorporating it soon, are these smaller projects. I call them glam ups. And it's just to glam up a small space. And it's unbelievable what you can do within a budget in a small space. The first thing I would do, you know, I've been thinking about people during this time because they must be staring at their four walls and they're really getting intimately comfortable with the perhaps the deficiencies. So for example, if you have hollow doors right now, the sound carries. And if you have more than two rooms that you live in, you don't want a hollow door. You want a good door. It's about the foundation. I really like making the pizza dough and having them layer it with what they love in terms of colors and textures. And then I coordinate everything. So the first thing I would do is to understand what your main space is and make the colors or the shapes or the forms more homogeneous. I know that sounds a little vague and abstract, but for example, right now, I live with my partner, Peter, and he had a different aesthetic than I did. And what I love about when I do my own homes is each time I try and push myself and do something different. And this time, what I tried to do was listen to what he loved. And he loves neutral beige palettes, which, as you can imagine, for colorist is about as difficult as it is. But what's interesting out there right now, there's so many colors in nature, if you looked at it, that can either fit in the beige, neutral, natural, organic, or you go to the springtime, beautiful flowers, clouds, and sprigs. Then you've got autumn. You just want everything to marry everything else. If you work with texture, you want to bring in different textures. You want to work with marble. You want to work with hemp. You want to work with feathers. You want to work with rope. See, that's one language. If you want to work with lush, lavish, you work with velvets. You work with silk. You work with deep colors that remind you of gemstones. If you want to work with pop because you're young, like I did for one of the CEOs at Shopify, they were into the 1950s colors, the 1950s art, the younger lounge style. It's completely, there's different things you can do. Honestly, a good secret is to know where to get good cushions. I think that's where I would start. I would see one cushion that you like, whether it has colors or not, take that cushion, put it in your living room, and then start picking colors out that match that. If it's a vase, or if it's the flowers that you put in the vase, if it's a carpet, or if it's a salad bowl, or if it's the salad in the salad bowl. I know this sounds transient, but there's something very musical about design that people like me can really get lost in. But my clients can look around and subconsciously understand and get entranced with the music produced and that reverberates in their soul. Do you see what I mean?
I do indeed. I get that sense of, you know, when you're speaking, I'm thinking of this like symphony of textures and, you know, the colors, and it's beautiful when it all works together.
But the beauty is when it's your own symphony, when it's music that you understand, that you can see play out, that you like listening to. And that's the important part of a designer, is somebody who listens and somebody who understands and can interpret. That's how
I love that. Because also it makes me think sometimes you go into a place and you feel like it has the designer's stamp, but it feels quite cold in terms of the person that you know.
You know, that's interesting. There was an editor that said to me, the one thing that she liked about my style was that it wasn't overly masculine or feminine. It seemed to be a combination of both. And I love when people say something to me that I haven't really noticed myself. And mm-hmm. I think about that. And it was said to me about 5 years ago. And I think about that all the time. And it's funny because in this new home that I created with my partner, it is a lot more masculine than I've ever done before, but I love that. And for me, I think I listened to myself and I respected the fact that me coming up in this world, as a voice and, as a thumbprint, I am listening to my strength, and my strength is coming out as masculine. And yeah, I feel very happy. You know what? I'm very good at seeing other people's faces and not so good at seeing my own. It's my daughter's TikTok page that actually makes me think that, okay, I'm doing a good job here. Her backgrounds look so good. And she's finding all these incredible backgrounds and all these different angles in my own home. And I have a photographic eye, and I'm just amazed with how many niches she finds. That said, of course, there are things that are not done. So I haven't photographed my own place because it's going to take me 2 years before I get finished. Not because I don't know what's going on. It's just because I can't afford to finish it right now.
Yeah, at least the way you want to.
And that brings me to an essential component with clients, is take your time. You don't need to be finished or get finished or ever be finished. It can be a constant conversation. And once I have design for you and our job is, let's say, closed and finished, and we have to put a certain mark, I'm always going to be there to walk you through more purchases or this or that, that don't come at any cost. You see?
Absolutely. Let's talk about being, let's go in a different direction. Let's talk about being the daughter of Hamilton Southam. He was the founder of the National Arts Center. His voice is still that distinctive boom that you hear at the beginning of a performance, but also driving force behind the Canadian War Museum. certainly a man deeply committed to serving his country. And now one of your sons is serving his country in the USA in another way. Can you talk about the value of service and why it's a core family value?
You know, you're the one that actually brought it up. You're right. Service has always been a core family value. And it is my father that is really embodied that. He wasn't the kind of man that said, do as I say. It is, he just did. And then we saw, and some of us decided that that was a very good way of being. I remember when I left my husband, and I thought I was still young enough that I could go and join the Peace Corps. And I told my father about this, and he was very, very proud and happy. And he said, you know, you can, and that would be incredible. And it's so vocational. And he saw a different part of me that never happened. But I'll always remember that spark of pride in his eyes, because when my son went into the US Marines, I was able to relate to him how proud his grandfather would be. And whenever there are articles that surface about my dad or where he fought or what Canada did, we pass it on to Orion, who's now Lance Corporal at 19.
Wow.
Yes, he's very dedicated.
So impressive. So this value of service is a core family value, and beautiful to see it continuing on in your children as well. But you also credit your mother, whom you lost recently, and I know that was hard, as it is for anyone to experience the loss of their mother. But you've given her credit as the reason you have a deep knowledge of art and antiques. You shared that she taught you to appreciate galleries and museums and the history of art. What other lessons did you learn from your wonderful mother?
Well, so I grew up with my mother in Paris, France. That really helped that we were so close to museums. And her weekend was not going to jungle gyms. It was dragging us to Le Petit Palais, l'Orangerie, Le Jeu de Paume, Le Musée Rodin. We would have picnics in the back of that. And it's interesting. I'm going to be writing a chapter in another book, Janice, for... Yay. Becca Shane Denter, who's doing a book right now titled Women of the World. And I find, sorry, I'm completely deviating off my mom. You know, when this movement of women, and I'm thinking of my mother, featuring other women and nurturing other women, it's one of the most powerful groundswells that I'm so happy I've been a part of. And I've only seen this in the past 6-7 years that has really produced fruits, because before that it didn't feel that way. And I feel like we are some of the older people part of this, Janice. And I think that there's a lot of women coming up behind us that are doing the same thing. And anyway, so my mom was instrumental. She was a sculptor in Paris. She sculpted in the Atelier Nicolas Poussin, where Picasso did his own sculptures and Modigliani painted above him. And we also lived in an apartment right off of the studio on Rue Campagne Première, where these artists would live, these famous artists would live. And I remember she also, weird mom. I mean, what kind of mom would stick a poster of chairs, commode, consoles, and furniture throughout the ages, starting from prehistoric, and it was on a diagonal up until the mid-century, to the point where we went to Georges Pompidou, and remember to see Picasso's pornographic drawings, by the way. How old was I? 13 years old. And we stopped in front. It was on the way up in the escalator, and there was a vitrine where you could see different pieces of furniture. And she said, what epoch is that is that fauteuil, which is a chair. And I said, well, that's the first empire. And she said, I think my job's done. Yeah. So, but this has helped me actually when I was in Miami, to this knowledge, Miami used to be, or maybe still is, up in the North Beaches, one of the cradle of depository of the best furniture brought in by the Jewish diaspora between the First and Second World War, and then after the Second World War, and then the Russians fleeing their country also in that time, and the mid-modern lovers, there were gems. So there were people that were selling these pieces. They didn't even know what they were selling. And the stuff you could get back then, if I really want to hurt my heart, I can go to Christie's or Sotheby's right now and look at how much a Paul Evans would be, or Vico Magistretti would be, how much a Vladimir Kagan sofa would be, how much a Fornacetti table would be, because I saw all those things and I knew what they were. And one of my first pleasures was informing the people who were selling these what they were, so that they could do some research. This was before websites and Google. And the wealthier people of the mind had the books. And that's what I would suggest to every designer today, even those who are very well-to-do and selling a lot and making a lot of money. Go deeper, read more, get your research done, because it is fantastic. The things you can see through years and how they come back and how they go into cycle and how people lose interest in something but find interest in others is just so fascinating to me. Again, very psychological.
So relevant. Yeah, so relevant. What's old is new again.
Well, I'm going to predict a trend. I'm not predicting a trend. I'm going to tell you what I see coming up in what I love.
Please do.
It has to do with a French expression called la jolie laide, which means the beautiful ugly. And this would be interpreted in design in the 70s, 60s and 70s in the brutalist movement. Mm-hmm. For example, the NAC mm-hmm. is a brutalist structure. Mm-hmm. It is heavy. It is brutish in form and shape and even texture. But I find beauty in the ugly right now. I really do. I think it fascinates me more than any other form at this point, because I find it to be unique and I find it to be something to be loved. And anybody that doesn't feel loved is something or somebody I would love more because I think it's a mother thing.
So tell me a time you were fearless, Henrietta.
The one question that I was afraid to be asked, because there's one, I don't know if it has so much to do with being fearless, but there is one moment that really comes up in my mind. And it was a few years ago. I was in utter despair. I remember very clearly being on my brother's kitchen floor in a puddle of tears that are not even pretty tears. They were just, they must have been animal grunts. And I had hit rock bottom in a personal relationship, something I haven't written much about, but I'll get there one day. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't understand why the floor didn't swallow me up. And when I was done and spent, I realized that was going to be the very last time I was done and spent. But I had that question in my mind, like, why didn't I just pass away? Why didn't I not just break from grief? And I researched a little bit of that. I really didn't understand it. I thought that was it for me. And I went back to my Viking roots, my Norwegian roots. And I knew that I could pull on my culture and my ancestry to find what made me strong. And the fact that this is blood in me means that I will always be fearless going forward.
I love that.
I have that in me. It is my superpower.
Yeah. And you reconnected with it as a way to find that strength and push through. And
yeah, I didn't even find it. It found me. It was it's such a revelatory moment for me.
It's a beautiful thought and something that we can all turn to, right? To find that
as
extra.
As long as you have blood in your body, you have DNA. That means that you were put there for a reason. And that reason means you have a raison d'être. You have a reason to be.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons to be for you is so many of the important organizations that you give your time and talents to. You're doing work with John Weston. You've been very committed with the Vimy Foundation. How do you decide who and how who gets your time and talents?
That's interesting. My dad is the one that really inspired me. He was very selfless with his projects. And one thing that I did notice about his projects is that he was passionate. That was his number one criteria about the projects, and also how long they took. So I know now that if I have a gut reaction to a project, I'm going to go the distance, but also the length. And I know that I can only commit myself to one project at a time. That's something else that was established a few years ago. I can't do more than that. Mm-hmm. And I do spend possibly at this point, it used to be half of my time. I'm more at one third of my time to something that I will never see a red cent for. But the thing is that this time is the best spent time for me. This time has given me the most, it has enriched me the most. The time spent on projects that have nothing to do with being more, making me more comfortable in a financial way, it's just, I can't explain it to myself because I have a partner who says you're spending way too much time on this, but it makes me happy. And I'm driven by necessity and by the adage that you should try to leave the world a better place, basically. And this project with John Weston is basically the foundation of a National Health and Fitness Institute, which will be a place where people can come and be educated on how important physical activity is, how important getting out is, how important the connection with nature is for our children, how important it is not to be in front of your screens for 5 hours a day. You know, why I think in our, we put a little film together and we have a website. It's NHFI/INSAP, which is the French acronym .com. We're very proud of what we've done. We do want to make it pan-Canadian. We think that an institute, as opposed to my dad that made a national institute in Ottawa, I rather see an institute now be globally across Canada. And what's interesting is we can do it. It's just about, from a design point of view, thinking about it from a different, exploding the square, right? Putting huts all the way across, let's just say close to the Canadian Trail. And in each hut, you have a hub where you can learn the landscape that you've crossed, where you are, the geology. If you've walked this many kilometers, what does that mean? You know, you connect humans and nature so we can appreciate a little bit more the where we are and what a great country Canada is, as well as leave it with less of an imprint, with an, you know, establish net zero green footprints and just show the better way forward for a next generation.
I love that. So how do you connect that with the final question, which is, what is your dream for Canada, Henrietta?
It's interesting. I'd like to answer that as a Canadian who's lived abroad for a long time. And somebody who's married an Italian and given birth to Americans. And I've never, until I lived here and worked, I never understood the Canadian identity as much. And I think it's very much misunderstood. I think from many perspectives, Canada is not, it should be the number one country in the world. And I'm not saying that from an American perspective. I'm saying that from a humility perspective. I find Canadian character incredible. I find it modest to a fault. I find our country one of the most beautiful countries in the world in nature. I mm-hmm. find the fact that we have four seasons a gift. I find our politics beautiful at this point. It's, we don't have this breaking point that is happening in Europe or in the States, our neighbors. We don't have the complete differences of social strata that South America or Africa has. We are one of the most philosophically, politically, economically, and art-wise, most beautiful countries in the world. And I wish Canadians could lead more and educate more by example, instead of keeping themselves to themselves. And without going against their modest nature and their natural humility, but I think Canada should put itself out there in a better way. But it's interesting that also brings it back to what my dad would say about Ottawa specifically, and say, this is the best kept secret in the world. To which, of course, having lived in Paris, New York, and Miami, I would generally laugh behind a hand politely and, you know, get on with another topic of conversation. But now that I've been here, I cannot even imagine living somewhere else. I can go and travel somewhere else, but live somewhere else, I don't know if I will ever do that again, because it's the most, it is the most endowed in every sense place I've ever been in. It's the most balanced place I've ever been in. It's the most inclusive place I've ever been in. And there, of course, I'm here because this is the place with the most potential. And when I say potential, I don't mean that I want to make everything better. It's just that I want people through what I do to understand that there are means and ways of making your space, making your neighborhood, making your city and country just that much more refined.
Wow. That's a beautiful dream for Canada, and a demand from Henrietta. Canada, it's our time to shine. We heard it here. You've been listening to the founder and CEO of Henrietta Southam Design. You hear her passion. You hear her deep knowledge. And it's no surprise she's such an influential voice in Canada. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Henrietta.
Janice, thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored that you had me here. Really, I'm very touched.
Thanks again. Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage. EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.